Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, Combatants, the Anything Combat Show, wherein we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Johnny K, and today we're joined by a veteran. He's had plus more than 140 fights. He's from Kura, Dagestan, Muay Thai champion, kickboxing champion. He's got 8 world titles internationally, 4 world titles, European championships. Please welcome to the show, Zhaba Askarov. How are you, Zhaba?
Good, thank you. Myself?
I'm good. I've got a serious question for you. So you were in Dagestan and now you've gone to Australia. But what was that process like? How did you make the decision to come to Australia?
Well, I moved away from Dagestan when I was 18. I moved to Thailand and then I lived there for 10 years. And while I was living in Thailand, I used to fight everywhere I know around the world, like Europe, Asia, and Australia as well, a few times, New Zealand. And once I came over here, I really liked it here. And I tried to come over earlier, but I couldn't do some during some process and stuff, you know. And then finally in 2013, I met up, I came here for a show, for a fight. And then after that fight, I decided to stay a bit. I stayed for a year, went back to Thailand, went back to Russia. And 5 years later, I came back for good in 2018. I came here.
When we did the poll on Instagram, there was a guy named Boris. He's a jiu-jitsu brown belt. I train with him, and he wanted to ask you, what was your favorite time in Thailand? What was your fondest memories of living in Thailand?
Well, that was the best time when I were living there with boys from Dagestan. We were living, 5 of us. It was the first team we stayed there, and it was the best time, actually, you know, like we lived there as a family. We grew up together back in Dagestan as well, and we all stayed together as well in Thailand in one apartment. So it was quite fun and good life, you know, good experience.
Zhaba, I might be making a trip to Dagestan in the future, and I'm being serious about it. So what can you tell me about it? Is it safe? What's it like there?
Well, it's a good place. It's a very safe place. People are very welcome people. And it's a rough place, but towards people who came over there, they were very pleased, you know. They show respect and they were very welcome people there.
Do they speak English or are they usually just being Russian, Arabic?
Yeah, look, they speak Russian, but lately, look now, young generation, you know, a lot of fighters, a lot of travelers, somehow they pick up the English words and stuff, and a little bit they're getting experienced international languages. They speak Turkish there, they speak Dagestani, 5-6 main languages, and then they speak mainly Russian, and that's the international language in Dagestan. And then some of them, boys, will obviously know English as well, or girls as well.
What do you think I should do when I'm there?
Enjoy. Just go and chill, man. That's the best place to enjoy. Try to travel in the villages. Don't stay much in the city. Try to travel to the villages, to the mountain. There people is the great people. These people are very just genius, beautiful people. In the villages, they're very welcome people, you know, and you'll see the paradise of Dagestan. I'll see there. It's very beautiful mountains, nature, rivers, sea, Caspian Sea. On one side, on the other side is a mountain. Beautiful place.
You've had so many fights with so many different legends. Personally, I'm Greek, so I like the Mike Zambides fight, personally. I wanted to ask you, what was your favorite fight from your career?
To be honest, in every time, every stage, always had someone favorite. But I believe one of the favorite fights was Robin Van Roosmalen.
Why did you like that fight so much?
It was just fucking crazy. It was toe to toe. It's like fighting shadow boxing, you know, fighting yourself. You hit, he hit, you hit, you hit. Like, it's up and down, up and down. It was crazy. work rate as well. If that's a fight on YouTube, it's just a, it's a real battle, you know. It's a real crazy battle. That was a fight.
You said something that I really appreciate. You said that if you're armed with faith, you're basically armed twice. So
yeah.
What does this mean for you?
Well, if you believe in yourself, you know, if you believe, if you have a belief, you believe in God, you believe in yourself, man, you, it's mean like you're already a favorite, you're already a winner. Yes. You got more advantage than your opponent, if you have that.
Did you feel that when you fought your opponent?
Obviously. When you get on a stage, when you look at the eyes, when you stare down, you know, sometimes, not, I wouldn't say all of them, but most of fights, you see the fear already in the eyes, you know. And it's all because you believe in yourself. You know that you'll do it. You know, you do. That's why, yes.
Are you going to continue fighting?
I'm planning to. I got a few offers, and hopefully it works out. I got a big event, a big show. We are discussing at the moment my match on that show, and hopefully it comes out. I won't say what the show is name, but as soon as we have a proper gentleman agreements, I'll announce it. But hopefully, if it works out, is
kickboxing or MMA?
None of them.
What? It's a completely different type of. Don't tell me it's that Arsenal X thing where it's one round kickboxing, second round like wrestling.
No, nothing of it. As I said, it's a big event, big show. It's a very good show, beautiful show. I'll announce it soon.
Okay, cool. Let me ask you about Buakaw, because that's my favorite kickboxer. So what was this fight like for you? I believe you fought him multiple times. What was that like for you?
Yeah, well, first time I fought him, I was too young. I was a kid. I was 19 years old and no experience and stuff. Just put it like, you know, threw me out as a meat to the wild dog. And I lost some points. I went the whole distance, but I lost points, no experience, nothing. But the second fight, it was a very good fight, close fight in Italy. Even though I had never, on the second fight, I had no proper camp. I was going through a hard time with family and stuff. I was going really, really through a hard time. And I left the camp. I was getting ready for a fight in Sweden. I left Sweden. Like, I went there 5 days training. After 5 days, I got some news. I had to go back, fly back to Dagestan. And in Dagestan, I was just doing myself training, you understand? No camp, no coaches, nothing, just myself training. And that's how I got ready for a fight. And even then, I went through the distance. I made a good fight, I believe. It was a close fight. And yeah.
This is always a hard question. I ask veterans about this. So seeing that you've had such an extensive career and you've got all the skills that you've built up over your whole career, how do you even improve now? Like, how do you find what you're not good at, even if you have had such a long career where you've improved on so much?
Look, man, you know what? Like, all my life I fought, I had so many fights in my life, and I'm looking at the back now, you know, and I realize right now, at this stage, I got so much experience. I can work with this all information at just now. I can feel that I'm getting as a wise man, you understand?
Zabe, you were talking about feeling a little bit unmotivated and that you had an issue with fighters not getting what they deserve. So can you tell me why this happened?
Well, I believe because like kickboxing is very low, and sometimes promoters act toward fighters like...
What, are they exploitive?
What do you mean, like exploitive?
Like, do they exploit the fighters?
No, they just like, you know, like... oh, I don't know how to say it. It's like if you fight good, they treat you a little bit like okay, jabba here and there. You fight sometimes. Some fight happen good, bad. You understand? And then they just comes up with some stupid things like, oh, not good. You know, you're not deserve that money and stuff. What you're getting paid and stuff, and then try to bring your purse down. And look, end of the day, is none of the promoters, none of the guys who are sitting and watching the fights, who discriminate, who says bad things about fighters. They don't know what fighters goes through. They see only the fight. They don't know what behind of the camp, what's happening. Correct. Sometimes fighters are people too. They got issues. They got home problems. They got just general problems in their life. And sometimes camp doesn't happen the way they want to. Sometimes they're mentally not ready, but they can't just say, okay, I can't fight, you know. And because fight for them is a bread and butter. And you step in a fight, okay, fight happens bad. Okay, it's maybe once in a while happens. You can't criticize fighters over one fight, you know. And those kind of issues unmotivates you, like, man, you know, like, what I'm doing for, you know, you're putting that much hard work, you're going through that much pain in your life, fighting, training, sweating, dying, you understand, diets kills you, you know, and then eventually you're getting the kind of treats from promoters and stuff, you're like, man, what is this, it's not a life, it's disgusting, you know, what are they doing it, and that's unmotivates you, but once you start to, like, you seeing from promoters' good side, some promotion, once they put your hand, they say, okay, look, Ojaba or whoever, somebody else, some fighter, someone else, like, they put your hand, they say, okay, look, man, this is the way we're going to treat you, this is the fight you're going to get, this is the win you're going to get, this is the lose you're going to get, that much money and stuff. And then you have the agreements, and they say, three fights, you have a 1 year, okay, they give you three fights. And then you're happy to work with, you know. But then sometimes they have agreements that you have 1-3 fights, and then first fight happened bad, then they freeze you. Like, okay, you're not going to fight anymore, okay. You're locked, you understand. So those kind of stuff, it unmotivates you. But eventually now it's all good. All good. I'm kind of free. I'm waiting for mom in process of discussing with these promoters. So hopefully everything works out good, and if everything works out good, I'll show a good fight 100%.
Zaba, for people that don't currently have faith, how do you think they should find it?
Well, that's something natural you have in your body, in your heart. Yeah, I don't know. It's naturally happens. People becomes that, gets that faith sometime, you know, at some stage. I can't explain how to do it and stuff. I just can't say it. Like, as my coach before, when I used to be a kid, my coach used to say to me, Zain Albek is like one of the greatest person I met, and the great coach. He used to say, when you come to the gym, I can give you a technique. I can give you a power, but I can't give you the spirit, because spirit comes out from your mother and father to you, like naturally, you understand, they pass it to you, the heart, the power, the strength, the heart, I mean, you understand what I mean, the spirit. Everything else I can be built, same here, you know, same with the faith. Somehow in a life you got that faith, you understand, you're getting that faith. I don't know how to get it. I don't know what you have to do for that and stuff. Somehow naturally comes to that point.
Were your parents strong people?
Oh, yeah. I believe my father. My mom is a woman, general woman, and she's come from Dagestan, and she's a, what do you call, the woman who keeps the warm in the house, you understand? Like, my father he's a man. He's a man of a word, and he's a man. That's it. That's all I can say. He's a man. That's it. There's no other. Somehow I can describe him. Yeah, I can say he's a man. And when I say a man, it's mean a lot for me. It means everything. So he's a man.
Did he inspire you?
Obviously, always. Still, he's passed away, but he passed away when I was too young. But yes, he inspired me. He taught me a lot of things in life. He taught me up in age when what to do, how to do in your life, how to deal with your life.
Did he train martial arts?
It were hard times in Russia when Soviet Union broke and stuff. So people, the sport wasn't that good at the time. Like, people had to deal with the life somehow. They had to deal with work with the families and stuff. Soviet Union broke and the country was broke and people had to work. There was no time for the sport. And obviously my dad, I believe he wanted to be a sportsman and stuff, but due to that reasons he couldn't do it. So he tried to do best as he can to pass it to his kids, to me, to my brother, a bit of to my sister as well. But we are a bit different culture-wise. We're a bit different in Dagestan, and the women's is kind of, they don't do much sport things. So he did a bit, but to give it sport to my sister a bit for when she was young. But then, you know, it stopped her. But my brother and me, yes, we went all the way through.
So he put you into judo, and then you didn't want to do judo. You went to kickboxing. So no, why didn't you?
No, it's not me, not the one who don't want to do judo. It's my brother was good at the judo. And I wasn't, I was okay, but I was good as well. I would say, yes, I'm like, it was just the beginning. But then I could see that my father wanted one son to do something, the other one to do something else. And he liked this. I believe he watched what was the Bloody Sport, I think. I don't remember the sport, the movie name. Where there is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I think. Yeah, I remember it.
Bloody Sport, something like this called, I don't remember. And I believe he watched it, that one. He's been inspired by that movie, and he wanted to send me to kickboxing and stuff, you know, when they do leg kicks and broke the trees and stuff, you understand? So it was the kind of motivation was for him.
When I went down to Rama 1, Pech Sichmachai, a really nice guy, very good trainer, had a lot of fun with him, and he was very helpful, helped me a lot. So I do want to ask you, when did you start with Rama, and what's your training been like with Pech?
Well, I did a couple of sessions with Pech when he was getting ready for a fight, his last fight. I did a few sessions because just to help him around and stuff. And he's a very great fighter, and I believe he has enough experience to train by himself, or like not by himself, but I mean like not having me there. But he's a good fighter. And if he keeps focused on fighting, he has a great future. Yes, 100%.
I can't remember, Zaba. Can you tell me, did you fight Chingiz Alazov?
Yes, I fought him, yes.
Yeah, what do you think about that fighter right now, seeing that we saw Superbon get the interim belt, and then now he's going to fight Superbon again? Do you think anyone's going to be able to beat Chingiz?
Well, there's always someone. There's always someone who comes up, you know, and shines in at the moment. At the moment, it's his time. It's Chingiz's time. But, yes, Superbon is a tough boy. Tavanchai. He's the one, I believe, that can get a lot of troubles to everyone. Superbon against Chingiz, at the moment, the way I see, technically doesn't suit Chingiz. Oh, like, Chingiz doesn't suit him, technically. Chingiz is very different style fighter, you understand? Like, he could change his style and stuff. He's very open, wise fighter. So I believe he can beat him easy again, second time.
I want to ask you about the current ONE Championship type setup for the kickboxing. We saw some kickboxers, some Muay Thai fighters, they'll fight 9, 10 times in the year, now that we've gone into the current era, it seems like fighters are taking a little bit more time off and fighting maybe 3 to 2 times a year. So what are your opinions on this?
Well, it depends on fighters, but I believe in one championship they have the issues when they have not issues. They believe they're not giving enough fights to fighters. I don't know what's the reason. I don't know what's happening behind of the scene. So I don't know why it's happening like that. But normally fighters, when I went my prime, I was fighting like when I was on my prime, 6-8 times a year. On an earlier stage, the maximum I fought, it was 14 times a year when I was 22, pro fights. And now maybe fighters getting good monies, better monies. I would say not like nothing like MMA, nothing like UFC, but still, you know, good paid. And for them, it's kind of like, oh, they're happy with that. Well, that's why maybe it's less fights. I don't know. Now, as well, one thing as well, when you fight, you spend a good time, quality time in a camp, like would say 8 weeks. Before I used to like when I was younger, I was 2 weeks camp, like fight, come back again camp 2 weeks and again fight. You understand? There was no much break between.
Because how do you do a 2 week camp?
Just like crazy training. That's it. It's not nothing prepared for the fight. Exactly, not learning how. The style of the opponent and stuff. I was just fighting like, oh, it doesn't matter who's next. Okay, train, just casual training session, normal set, pads, boxing bag, that's it, and go back to the fight, you know. And I used to do that like for years and years. Now, let's say fight technology changed it. Now everybody studies each other, you understand? They pick the weak points, the strong points. And it takes a bit of time, and that's why maybe the fights is less as well, 2-3 fights a year. The pay is good for some fighters. Yes, that's why maybe.
Did you break your nose?
Oh, yeah, man. Obviously.
How did that happen?
Obviously, it's not natural. Do you think it's a win from here? well, I used to fight, man, like casual. What do you call it? As usual. You know, when you're a kid, when you train, you fight with small gloves, like small MMA gloves, obviously, like winter gloves and stuff, because we had no gloves. And man hits day after day, you understand? That's why it happens.
Are you going to get it fixed?
Obviously, well, once I'm done with fight. I was thinking to do it this year, but then I started speaking with the guy, with the promotion, and I'm thinking if I'm going to keep fighting, I may stay a bit longer like this. Otherwise, I was planning when I'm going to go back home in a couple of months, I'm going to do surgery, like plastic surgery.
Who do you think's the best fighter that you fought?
Oh, man, look, everyone had their own best time when they fought, like, you know, like Chingiz now is the best fighter. I fought Chingiz as well. I fought Bukau. Bukau was best fighter in 2005 to 2010.
Petrosian?
I fought Giorgio. That's what I was next. I fought Giorgio. Giorgio was the best in 2000, for 10 years, I believe, from 2012 to 2022, I believe, you understand? So everyone was like best in them own times. So, and I fought all of the best of the best, you understand? Like I fought all of them, which I'm happy with. And I made a good fight, actually, with everyone expected Giorgio. I lost KO.
With Buakaw, he just put that guy's lights out. We just saw him with the 1-2. Would you fight Buakaw again now?
Obviously, man. I wanted that fight. Honestly, I was thinking of that fight for retirement. My last fight, I was thinking of that. But no one could organize it, that fight back home as well. That's why.
Why couldn't they do that?
I don't know. Some people say it's too expensive and stuff. Things like that. Financial ways, they say it's a book of asking crazy money.
He's asking crazy money. Why don't you ask him?
Well, I can't ask him. Like, I can't. It's not my business to ask Bukau what are you getting for the fight and stuff. I'm not interested.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, ask him to fight you.
Yeah, but that's
out of respect.
Yeah, it's No, out of respect, look. Even I'm going to ask him to fight me. Bukov does done so much hard work. He deserves his pay. So I can't tell him, hey, Bukov, I'm not the kind of person, hey, Bukov, can you fight me? Just out of respect for less money. I can't do that because I respect what he's done in the sport and I respect and I agree with what money he's asking for. And that's the issues I have always, man, here in Australia. Hey, Jabba, how much you would fight for us? Like, what the hell, man? What do you mean for you guys? You understand? Like, some promoters would ask me, what do you, like, there's so much, there's stuff I get often here. Hey, how much you would do for us? Like, what do you mean for us? Man, like, the fight is a fight. I work for that fight. I work, man, through that much, you understand? I sweat, I blood and everything. I go through this. End of the days, I'm fighting for my life, for my family, to provide them the best things I can. And somebody comes to you and say, hey, how much you would fight for us? What do you mean for you? You understand what? Like, if I'm going to be in a hard position one day, would you come and put me a hand? No. And then when I tell them the price, they get upset. But for us, they ask. But for you, it's exactly the same as for everybody else. There's no difference, you understand? And then they get upset. That's the things that here I don't like. I hate that stuff in Australia. When some promoters come here, like, if I want to do, honestly, for less price, I tell straight to the guy, yes, I'm happy to do it, you understand? But I don't like when they come and ask me, how much you do for us? I've done that for cheap as well for some fighters, for some promoters. I did because I wanted to, because I feel like I need it. Not because you're asking customers how much you do for us. That's, for me, it's funny, you understand?
Do you like the smaller gloves or the bigger gloves for Muay Thai?
Bigger gloves, but I don't mind. Look, man, end of the day, it's fight is a fight. If you pay good, I fucking fight bare knuckle. That's what I mean. I don't, like, look, at this stage, doesn't the belts or this or that doesn't motivate you. It motivates you the money. They get you good, they pay you good fight, they pay you for a fight the good monies. You'll do it for bare knuckle. It's a fight, end of the day. It's a bare knuckle, small gloves, big gloves, I don't mind. Pay it. Put the purse on the table. That's it, you understand? It's so simple.
Did you like fighting for one championship?
Was good sometime at the first, in the beginning, but we ended up I wouldn't say in a bad terms and stuff. Just they wasn't giving me enough fights so that they were showing on contract. That's it.
If you had to pick with your fighting game, what would you say is the best part of your game?
Just the brawling. I'm a brawler fighter. I don't. That's the favorite part. My strongest part.
How do you know Coach Amin, Matt Masters?
I used to coach as well at the gym. I used to train as well there a bit as well with boys. I trained there for a while, for a year maybe. That's how I trained a few gyms in Australia myself. Well, actually, not a few, two, three gyms. Yes, I trained for 5 years. I've trained a few gyms here. Yes, that's it.
Final question for today is, why did you end up doing MMA?
Oh, I liked it. I was thinking of, 2015, I think it was, first my fight. I did, because I was thinking of getting into UFC and stuff, and boys, the kickboxing was going down for really, like, it wasn't that good promotions anymore. A lot of promotions just started shutting down and stuff, and as now, UFC take over everything, almost. Maybe now PFL, Bellator getting better and stuff a little bit, but that time I was thinking, okay, but still, it's still MMA, and MMA took over the fighting sport, so I was thinking, like, to change, and then still, I didn't get a proper offers, good offers. That's why I stopped it. Well, my last fight was 2021, 22, on one FC. No, sorry. Hex FC. Yeah, in Australia. That was last my fight.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Zubba, for your time. Is there any final messages you want to say to the fans at home as we wrap up the podcast today?
Yeah, just going to say to everyone, best of luck. Stay strong, train. And if you are dreaming of something, just chase your dreams. Don't give up. Never give up. That's the thing. To the young generation, I would say that no matter what, don't be a softies, be a hard man. And walking through the city.
Follow Zubba on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you guys next time. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.